In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we hear the reason, the primary reason why we fast, in the story of the healing of the demoniac's son. It's the primary reason why Jesus Christ became man. It's the primary reason for everything. And that is so that we would be purified, so that we would be cleansed, so that we would be in such a condition that we could know God. Because we can't know God if we're not pure. Because the pure in heart shall see God. Jesus Christ came so that we could become pure. This is the purpose of life. To know God. And the only way to know Him is to become like Him. There is no other path. So we emulate Jesus Christ, and we learn of Him because He is meek and lowly. And His yoke is good, because it leads us to truth. Fasting is part of what leads us to truth. It is just a spiritual fact that we must pray and fast together in order to become purified. It's not a commandment any more than it's a commandment that we must breathe in and out air and oxygen in order to live. Or if it's a commandment that we must drink water or else we would die. It's a reality. It's the way things are. It's the way we are. Fasting fights against our passions, our self-indulgence, our vanity, our pride. Every sin there is, fasting fights against. You can't name one that fasting does not have a beneficial influence upon. Neither a passion, a sin, nor a virtue. Fasting influences everything. And we see that in microcosm in this story. So the man as a boy that is a demoniac. He throws him into the fire and the water. He's been sick for many, many years. The man is at his wit's end, sees his beloved son sometimes being burned, sometimes in danger of being drowned. And he wishes him to get well. And these illnesses that the son shows, the throwing himself into the fire and the water, is indicative, according to the fathers, of all of our sins. Sins of fire, which is anger, lust, and many other sins are sins of fire. Jealousy. And then those of water, worldliness, self-indulgence. Really, every sin can be described as fire or water, or actually some combination thereof. Because in the spiritual life, fire and water can truly mix. At least in regards to sin. So this man brings him, his son, first to the apostles. They can't heal him. We find out later why. Because they didn't have enough belief. We also find out that the man didn't have enough belief. Because the Lord said, everything's possible to you if you believe. Everything. That's true. And you know, we believe this, right? It's in our hearts. We know it's true. But somehow, why doesn't it get actualized? Because we know it's true that if we believe, all things will be given unto us. We don't believe that way. And the question is, why? Do any of us doubt that God is? Do any of us doubt that God is Trinity? That Jesus Christ became man? Do we doubt these things? No. Then why don't we believe? Well, Jesus gives us a hint. He says to the man, actually sort of to the man and sort of to everyone around him, which included Pharisees and Sadducees and people that wanted him dead. He said, "O faithless generation," according to St. Mark, and this actually is in all four Gospels, one of the few miracles that's in all four. And in another place it says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" The Lord is telling the man and telling us, the reason why we don't believe is because we sin. It's because there's darkness in us. The darkness makes us not believe. So the path to belief is not to sit in a chair and convince yourself of something. The path to belief is to become like God is, to emulate Him, to become holy. And all things are revealed to those who are holy. So that's how we obtain belief, by becoming holy. There is no other path. Anyone who says they believe in God and they still sin, they really do lie. Because their belief is imperfect. It's incomplete. An imperfect belief is not belief. It's partial belief. So Jesus says to the man and to us, "O faithful and perverse generation." And then he says, following, everything's possible if you believe. But he's already explained why we don't believe, even before he says so. About belief, he says, we're faithless. And then the man tells him something that should ring and resonate in your hearts. And I tell you, if it does not resonate in your heart, then you are in grave danger. I just have to be honest with you. Grave danger. Your soul is in grave danger if you do not have a resonance when you hear these words. "Oh Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Because that is the condition of every Christian. The saints had this resonate in their hearts, and we're no greater than they are. A Christian believes, but he also doesn't believe. A Christian is righteous, but he's also unrighteous. A Christian knows, but he also doesn't know. But we're called to complete knowledge, complete belief, complete righteousness. So this prayer should be ours. We believe, but we don't believe enough. We don't believe perfectly. It's not because God has not revealed Himself to us. It's not because of any reason whatsoever on the earth. It's because of us. It's because we're impure. And we're not holy. And this is what we're called to be. This is why God became man. So we must fight to become pure and holy. It's not bestowed upon us. Holiness is not just given to us. Holiness is something that we must become. God enables us, absolutely. Without Jesus Christ, nothing would be possible. Without the Holy Spirit within us, speaking to us, nothing could be accomplished. But indeed, we must accomplish. And we must become holy. But we're only partially holy. So we only partially believe. What a terrible conundrum. But the Lord is merciful. He healed the man's son. And this is to show us that even partial belief will be answered by God. Effort to believe will be answered by God. Complacency won't be. We must accept within ourselves. We're far from what we should be. God made us for perfection. And we're far from perfection. And God will help us if we desire this perfection. And if we acknowledge to Him and to ourselves, we might have some of this perfection now. A little bit more than when we were younger. But so little. So we believe, but we also have unbelief. And after the man's boy was healed, the apostles came to him and asked, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because of your faith. Belief, faith. What he was actually saying is, because you're not holy. Because only those who are holy are perfectly full of faith. So he told them, this is how this kind comes out. Only by prayer and by fasting. By effort. By struggle and by trial. That's how it comes out. And this kind is in you and me. Make no doubt about it. No, we're not possessed by demons. But we do allow our passions to possess us. And so they will only come out by prayer and by fasting. And it's a great tragedy in our day that fasting is being forgotten. Only among the Orthodox is it remembered. And really, many among the Orthodox do not remember it. It's not considered important or considered too difficult to do in our modern age. We don't have examples of fasters, even among the bishops and the clergy. And this is a great tragedy for our souls. Because you can't get better unless you pray and fast. As a pastor, I lament when someone really doesn't appear to be very motivated to fast. Because you can't get better without praying and fasting. It's just not going to happen. You can read a lot of books. You can know a lot of theology. But that darkness in you is not going to go away without prayer and fasting. It just won't happen. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. He's teaching us that the unbelief that's in our heart won't go away unless we pray and we fast. I hope that each one of you recognizes in yourself that there's unbelief in you. I hope each one of you recognizes that there's darkness in you. I hope each one of you recognizes the only thing that's important in life is that this darkness becomes light, this unbelief becomes belief, this sin becomes righteousness. And that this is the only, not the primary, but the only purpose of your life. Because it is. Whether you follow it or not, this is why you were born. To become perfected, so that you would know God. We see what happens when imperfect men see God. The transfiguration is an example. They fall down in fear. They're struck almost senseless because their impurity won't allow them to look upon the light. And these were the apostles. But we are called to see the light. We are called to be in the light. But we can't be until the darkness is gone. And that's a mutual effort. God helping us, but us struggling. So brothers and sisters, this is the best example of why we should fast. Perhaps you don't fast, or you don't fast well. It's time to start. Or you can begin with things that maybe you're capable of. Everyone is capable, really everyone. Physically capable, for sure, of to abstain from meat. If you don't do this, then don't be surprised that you still have passions. You still have a lot of unhappiness in your soul. But here's the scary part. There's things in you that you're not aware of. There's darkness in you that you can't see. I guess by definition, you really can't see in the dark, right? And you won't see these things unless you pray and fast. Some things you're aware of. Okay, say, I have trouble with anger, or with jealousy, or with lust, or with laziness. Okay, you can see those sins. They're visible to you. They're no secret. So you can pray and fast, begging God to deliver you from these things. to strengthen you so that you would no longer be angry. You would no longer lust. You would no longer be jealous. But what about the things in you that you're not aware of? You don't see those. And you won't see those unless you pray and fast. So brothers and sisters, this is a summation of the purpose of our Christian life right here in this gospel. So many of the gospel readings are like that. We're born for perfection. We can't obtain it unless we struggle. The struggle is in many ways, not just prayer and fasting, although they are absolutely primary, every day, every hour weapons. But of course, the giving of alms, the struggling against our sins. If we have something that's in our heart and becomes a thought, we struggle to have it not become an action. And eventually, with God helping us, we will no longer even have the thought. This is what life is for, to become good, to know God. Can't do it without prayer and fasting. So brothers and sisters, pray and fast. Not thinking that these things are some sort of magic, that if I follow the fast in such and such a way, then I have done what I need to do. No, because I told you at the outset, the fasting is not a law. Fasting is just what we must do to live. So don't put your hope in fasting. Put your hope in the Lord. But pray, fast, give alms, struggle. And have always in your heart the prayer, O Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And God will deliver you. And over time, you will completely believe because you will become completely good. You know, that's dogma. We believe this is possible. But it's only possible with prayer and fasting and effort. And may God help you to make this effort. Amen.